Blog Talk Radio.
This is Those Guys. I'm your host, Matt Marrero, along with your other host.
Who is jamming to the music in his head, Satish Ram.
Yes, I think I want to make it a thing so that we play music whenever we do Mike Tyson Mysteries that never isn't the opening, right? And we can kind of just, and also in my head, I thought it would be really funny because looking over the, you know, the music that we have here at our studio, it really, you know, it made me chuckle because I just imagined Mike Tyson, Marcel, and either his daughter or the pigeon doing the Too Cool dance. If anyone knows older WWE, at the time
so,
WWF.
Do we
yes.
still not have our hands on Ain't Got No Time for Bird Sex, Gotta Fly?
If you wish, we can play that as our outro.
Do we have?
I need your help
that?
On that.
Do we have to? Yeah, all right. Let's see what I can do.
I assume we can get our hands on that because of, I mean, how long it's been since the episode was out. I mean, we're currently at episode 5, so that's about a month and a week. So
yeah, 5 relatively good episodes. I mean, I'd argue that Mike Tyson was pretty weak compared to the rest. But Astronauts and Is Magic Real carried the momentum that I felt off the first 2 episodes that made me think that the show was really, really, really good.
Yeah, and it's weird because Mike Tyson in no way had it's not even, I think it was just wasn't as filled with as many jokes as the other ones were, but
yeah.
in a way where the first, you know, they were just so, it was done so well, and then also, and I know it might just be personal preference, but a lot of the, you know, the rape jokes. And it's weird, too, because someone could say to me, but that's just typical Adult Swim humor. Some people can laugh at that. Why aren't you one of them? Blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, well, look, I think it's also because of the fact that the first 4 episodes did not have that.
Yeah, the humor in Mike Tyson didn't exactly appeal to me as much. And I watched them out of order because sitting down to watch Mike Tyson, I was kind of worried where I was like, no, is this what the show has become? And then I put on Is Magic Real? And I was like, nope, we're good. They were fine.
Yeah.
Is Magic Real was hilarious.
Well, now you can be worried because of the fact
of course,
that it is the newest
episode.
Order,
Mike Tyson. But, I mean, it's just something where, you know, not everything is a winner. And I'm sure there was some humor in there for some people. Because, I mean, it's not like I didn't chuckle at some of the stuff. Like the whole, like, Guy Scavanda Holyfield about the mic bites. And I'm like, damn it.
Also, I have to admit, you know, we'll get to it later, but the idea that it's just, you know, not the word date rape is funny, but the idea of, oh, what am I going to be abducted? I think that would have been funnier. And he just wakes up, I've been abducted.
Yeah,
you
it
know,
was a weird thing, date
things.
Rape, and then the whole, like, you know, I tried to put a roofie in Youngies, and I'm like, damn it, I don't like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and also, no. And it's weird because just like other shows do as of late, it's the humor in a way where it's like, oh, you said that before and now you have the roofie. So it's like it's connecting, but it's not that, you know, but it's that weird thing where it's just, oh, so it does connect into a later plot, but it's not that we needed that.
Yeah, it
wasn't a needed
continuity.
Yeah, I think it didn't need continuity, especially for, you know, a show like this, where it's just, though I will admit, there is some nice continuity with the pigeon and how he became a pigeon, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's some stuff, like, the humor is, I think there was a lot of jokes in Mike Tyson, just not all of them, like, resonated with me, compared to something like Astronauts, where I was sobbing.
Or Is Magic Real?
Yeah, I think Astronauts may have been my favorite one to date because I laughed so hard I nearly cried at the Mike's logic when going into the spaceship. Just,
oh, my God.
I can't let you go on it because then I'm going to kill you because you'll be an astronaut. He's like, Michael, we cannot get on the – he's like, well, you know, actually, since you're already dead, I can't kill you again. So you can come up with me. Michael, none of us can pilot the
rocket. What I think is great, and before we continue, I'd like to say, if any of you want to talk to us about this show, you know, please use the number being 718-664-9468. I assume you can see this, you know, if you're listening to us through Blog Talk Radio, but just in case, you know, that is the number to call in. That's always the number to call in. If you want to talk to us about this show, yeah, you know, when we're on a specific episode that you find enjoyable, or if you just want to call in and say the entire show, you know, you just love it, or even hate it, the number again, 718-664-9468. And Satish, tell them what else they can do with our number.
Well, if you want to call in and say that you dislike the show, I can tell you why you're wrong. But if you just want to call in to listen, find an alternate way to listen because your computer, your internet's compromised, it may have been blown up because it was the anonymous general manager of Raw and I may have broken it, you can call
Or it was the Hoover Dam. It was near the Hoover Dam.
It may have been near the Hoover Dam. Or it may have been Dr. Friedman's. So 718-664-9468 is our call-in number, not only to get on the show, but it's always an alternate way to listen in case your internet's compromised.
Right. And you do that, by the way, if you press 1, because sometimes the lady will say, hey, press 1 to talk to the host, that will be us knowing that, yeah, you want to talk to us. But if you don't press 1, you'll just be sitting there. And we'll know, and we won't put you on. We'll let you listen, and if at any point in the show you want to talk to us, you push 1, you listen, and then when we're done, we say, hey, you know, we'll let you go call her. You say, oh, I want to be put back in the listener section, and we'll put you back in.
But we'll know. We'll know if you're listening.
So anyway. Right. The first episode being Astronauts, it was a delight. You told me about it beforehand, but it was a delight to watch. Like, there was just, I'm watching this, dude, and it's just, everything about it was just wonderful.
This is what I mean. Like, you could have written a show in terms of humor without anything that was, like, date rapey or anything like that, and it would still be A+. And this episode was downright fucking hilarious.
Yes. You know, sadly, Buzz Aldrin was not Buzz Aldrin. And none of the characters who have been portrayed on the show have been themselves. I really wish other than, you know, Mike Tyson. But, Though I have a strange feeling that Norm Macdonald would become a pigeon, and I haven't seen him in real life for a while, so I'm going to assume that that is Norm Macdonald playing Norm Macdonald.
I'm okay with that, actually. If he turns into human form and he looks like Norm Macdonald, I may just laugh my ass off. Cause I'd be like,
would
that
laugh so hard.
Because he's got such a recognizable voice that I'm really glad. But in any case, Astronauts was fucking hilarious. And
I mean,
beginning to end.
Mike Tyson killed Buzz Aldrin. But his daughter called it. I think that is. It's funny because I want to say that's one of the funniest parts of the episode, but then the entire episode happened. But I really enjoyed that scene so much because in movies, a lot, you have stuff like that happen where they don't look for that long, but there are certain glances away from the road that it's like, motherfucker, you keep on looking. Why are you looking away from the road to have a dramatic moment with someone, even if it's just for a second?
And I loved it so much because it's just like, Dad, you should look at the road. Dad, keep your eyes on the road. Dad, please keep your eyes on the road. Sir, can you stop talking to my father? Just like this. Just like, God, shit.
Yeah.
The little side conversations were great. And then, of course, apparently, by the way, is that plot? Like, was this episode plot?
I would argue none of the episodes are plot, which is why, you know, which is weird because that's why we have to say that, you know, Might Bite is weak because none of the episodes so far have been true plot. They've just been, like, I would think that this episode is one of those things where they wanted to either make a loose end to fuck with us like other movies sometimes do, but or they also wanted to just introduce something that's so huge and so large, like a huge conspiracy, and then never either look into it as a joke or just, again, make one of those, like, large, huge conspiracies. And then all of a sudden it's just kind of, which in a way isn't there because there is a huge conspiracy technically. They know that there's a secret, but it's just they're killing us because of a secret. No, not at all. Nobody knows. Mike, nobody knows.
Because Mike killed astronomers who all knew.
Which he's overjoyed about, actually, because he realized, thank goodness I'm not an astronaut killer.
His thought process.
Yeah.
I don't hate astronauts. I'm going to think rationally. Okay, Michael, that's good. Like, I don't hate astronauts. I love astronauts. In fact, when I became world heavyweight champion, I wanted astronauts to take me to the moon and other planets so I could become world heavyweight champion of those planets. And so I love astronauts. That's good, that's good. But where is this rage coming from? Okay. It just ends up being, that's right, the government implanted a chip in me for me to
Michael,
do astronauts.
Michael, no one...
Stop.
Michael, no one implanted a chip in you. So like,
I highly doubt that.
I
have to think rationally, and Marquise was like, Michael, stop using that word when you obviously don't know what it means. I was so Marquise sounds so, like, 90% of the time, Marquise sounds so done with Mike Tyson, and it kills me.
What I love, in my opinion, what I really love is that they're such a good foil for each other.
Yes.
You know? And I think that's what's needed in a show. And it's great, too, because I feel like, in a way, everyone is foil for the other, which is perfect comedy, where you have Mike, and he's just, you know, he's an idiot, right? And Marquis is immediately done, where you have his daughter, who isn't done, and she's kind of the, if you use the kind of duo, the straight man and the funny guy, right?
Right.
You know, when you always have a comedy duo. So she's the straight man in this. And then he's just the idiot, the bumbling idiot. Then Marquis is completely done with it. Then the pigeon is just fucks with Marquis so that he's done with the pigeon. And then, yeah, the pigeon will also, you know, screw with the daughter as well. Or she'll just, you know, which was weird because she is never dealing on any punishment. So I think in a way she doesn't really cut the circle. But I guess the circle is her, Mike. Mike, Marquis. Marquis, pigeon. Pigeon, her.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice collection of characters because you've got a diverse cast, like in an all serious sense, because you have a fucking talking animal, a ghost,
yeah.
An Asian American, and then Mike Tyson. In terms of like, this is a fucking priest and a rabbi walk into a bar joke. It's just like, it's just
I thought it was
a pretty good joke.
Yeah, no, I love that before that, though. He was like, no, this joke needs a rabbi. Because in my head, I thought, not that it needed a rabbi, but I was like, it's kind of weak, right? It felt weak. And he goes, this joke needs a rabbi. And I was like, son of a bitch.
No, I have to admit, I think from beginning to end, this might have been my favorite one yet. Because it was so freaking ridiculous.
God. You talked about the chip in his head. You missed the part where he was like, oh, wait a minute. You know, it's the fact that I've been putting this anger down inside of me for so long that now she's coming to rage. No, Michael, no, Michael.
Yeah,
no.
I love the turn because it started so well where he was like, good, Michael, think rationally. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, Michael, stop using that word. You don't know what it means. Michael, nobody,
also,
it's highly unlikely that anyone planted a chip in you. Michael, that didn't happen.
Also, Mike Tyson apparently can drive his car into a building or something. I mean, the guy can easily just go Death Note, if you remember Death Note, where they end up crashing the van into the building. For good reasons, but in this case, not so much. And Mike Tyson can go, damn, another fender bender. Hello, Julius.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, this is Julius.
I love the customer service rep so much.
Yes.
One of my favorite things of the episode was, again, please don't admit liability until these cases are settled.
Which I love because, in a way, it's like, I don't know if they would do that for you and I, but it's kind of funny how either they do it for Mike Tyson or because he clearly knows Mike.
Yeah, you've killed 10... You know, you've killed 10 people in the past year or so. That may affect your premium. They've all been astronauts, although that won't affect your premium. I was like, that had to be included, right? It was just one of those lines. I was like, that was good. That was good humor.
Yeah. Oh, man. And also, I love just the whole, this was a fun joke, I think, where it's just, you know, the idea of the, you know, an older gentleman going, and if Elton John tries anything on me, you know, I'll knock him out. I really doubt he's your type. Right? Like, I really, you know, that was fun because that made me just sit there and go, you know what? Because like, it felt something like that could actually, I guess, happen in the range of, you know, oh, this person here, this person, this person there. It felt like it worked well as a mix, you
mm-hmm.
know? And, of course, that was also drowned out, I think, by a lot of other really funny shit where Might Bite, you know, it Might Bite. Might Bite, Might Bites.
It's Mike Tyson.
Oh, right, Mike Tyson. I think that's the name of the episode. Damn it, Mike Tyson. It felt like, you know, it felt like it was two jokes in, well, not even two jokes. Like, it felt like there was a long sequence with the pigeon and the daughter. And then later on, it was the pigeon talking to himself. And then even later, the pigeon jacking off, which isn't an issue, to porn, which isn't an issue, on her computer, which is kind of an issue, I guess, because of the joke said previously.
Yeah, it's a weird thing where it's like, I'm not usually the one to call on offensive stuff because I am generally okay with that. And
Right. It's
weird because, so I'm not sitting here like, it doesn't have a place because it's Adult Swim and I know that's kind of like part of their MO. I just
Right. Didn't
like it. It just didn't resonate with me, which is cool, you know.
Also, you know, the fact that, and I'm sorry to interrupt, the fact that, as we mentioned before, it's the fact that they weren't doing it before. Because if they started out with that, you would just accept it as a norm in this society, and you would go on because of all the other funny things throughout the episode.
Right. This is just like an occurrence where out of nowhere they're like, and we're just going to, and I know the pigeon is the type of character to do something like that.
Which is good.
Because outside of the other jokes, like the whole idea, like, was it the shower camera? I was like, fuck. Was it the upskirt photos? I'm not wearing a skirt. When you do, I'll be ready. I was like, fuck. I mean, it's a violation of privacy, but the kind of asshole he is, I laughed at that. Where I was like, that ridiculousness fits him.
That's the thing. As a character, I can't blame them for it. Because as a character, it was written very well.
Right.
Because, duh. So I get that. Jumping back into the episode, you were talking about Tyson and Marcel. Just, you know, it's just, I love just Marcel. Just hey, you know, I wasn't trying to. Did I call him Marquis before? I might have. Marcel.
You called him Marquis. Isn't it Marquis?
Okay, it is Marquis. Who is Marcel? Marcel is a monkey. Marcel has been a monkey before on another show, I believe.
Maybe. I think it's Marquise. Can you fact check that?
No.
We don't have our...
Can I please tell you something? Friends is on mute in the background of my television. That's where Marcellus came from.
There we go. Okay.
So,
Marquise and Mike, first off, the exchange going up there. I can't believe he let us borrow his racket. That's Elon Musk. And you punched him and might have killed him. And Mike is just happy about it. Like, I got a racket. And then the whole, that exchange just made me so happy. Like, yeah, I'm going to go up there. Michael, you can't go up there alone. Well, yeah, but if you come with me, then I'm going to kill you because you'll be an astronaut. No, I mean, Michael, you can't actually fly the rock. No, well, I guess because you're already dead, I can't actually kill you again. So it would be okay if you come with me. No, you physically cannot pilot the rocket, Michael. And then
His name is Marquise. I think I just keep on screwing it up because I hate to try to make, you know, like, oh, here's my reasoning for being a dumbass. We've only seen, you know, like 11 minutes worth of each episode. And, you know, so it's very hard to kind of, because they usually, like, they mention their names, but it's actually very hard. Where for a while I was like, what is Pigeon's real name? And we just realized, no, it is Pigeon.
It's just Pigeon. That's what they call him.
Yeah.
But
that's what I'm saying. So it's
also,
weird. You know what I mean?
The exchange, Matt, with his daughter was beautiful to me. Like, if I, you know, when I'm up there and I realize that I'm an astronaut, and I killed myself, and I lost it. I absolutely lost it. It took me a second, and then I realized what he just said, and I was like, that was fucking hilarious.
That's the thing, very smartly written.
Yeah, just, I kill myself, I want you to carry on the business in my name and in my image. And he draws the tattoo crudely on her. Wait, that's the wrong side. Draws it again. You have the wrong face for this. Let me just fill it all in. Oh, you look like Dionne Warwick. I just, that entire, like, two-minute sequence, I was nearly tearing up by the end of it.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. This show is a show where, okay, I am never a person who sits there and tries to, you know, hide what I enjoy. Right, you know this, obviously. I mean, hell, we're doing, you know, from what the shows that we've done on, which we'll discuss at the end when we're promoting ourselves without any shame. What?
Awesome. Shameless self-promotion.
Awesome. Right. Oh. So, but anywho, so seriously, though, with all the shows that we've done, yeah, you know that that's me. But this is really a show that I would recommend to people where I go, listen, it's going to be weird. But when you actually sit there and listen to these jokes, you sit there and go, wow, this is really fucking funny. Like, it's so... it's just so smart in a stupid way. And I think it's fun to have humor like that, where, you know, you don't have to sit there and go, well, everything is a Pulitzer Prize. A Pulitzer or a Pulitzer? Everything is a Pulitzer Prize winner. You know, everything is just, you know, is worthy of these certain awards and whatever. It's just, you know, you can sit there and go, I mean, I think this is worthy of an award, not saying it's not, but in a way of, like, the dignified award, you know, where it's like, this award goes to the most life-changing show in America right now. You don't know, but it's just written so well.
Yeah, like, I talked about this when I first tried to explain why I liked the show, and it was just a matter of, like, look, everything has its place. And there's a place for just really good comedy. And this show provides that. Like, just
yes.
Straight, really, and for 12 minutes, and give you some really hilarious shit. Because you look at something like Is Magic Real? Right after Astronauts. And, oh my God. The whole ridiculousness of that situation.
Yeah,
and
so we'll get to that, but
Mike's
I know.
Mike's logic. But yeah.
His, always his logic is great. His mm-hmm. logic is always wonderful. But, I just love the idea, and I know you've brought up his, you know, Marquise and Tyson twice.
Yes.
But I just want to really drive it home. The idea of, Michael, that's not what I'm saying at all. And
yeah,
then
no.
He just keeps on going. Michael,
he's on
I
a fucking,
never...
When Mike gets on his thing, Marquise
yeah.
just immediately is like, no. And Mike apparently just doesn't hear it. Because he's in his
and
zone.
And it's funny. And it's funny because we know people like that. And not in, like, a bad way either. But we just know people that's like, once you're in your zone, it's just, you know, it's just like, you just sit there, you're just like, poop, you know, poop, shit, breasts, butts. And they're just like, I know, I should go and end up following my dream. Yep, not listening.
It's like, no way did I say that at all. But
no,
you
yeah,
do
no,
your thing.
You sit there. You sit
and
there, you're just like,
monkeys.
You know,
and
I hate
like,
your, you know,
yes.
your whole family deserves to die in a fire. And right there, the person is just like, you know what, you're right. I should go here first before I follow my dream. But damn it, I'm almost there. And you're sitting there, you're just like, you're thinking, what offensive things can I say that he will immediately or she will immediately turn into? Because we don't know who this person is. Will immediately turn it into just an inspirational speech.
Yeah, no, it's just that apparently is the dynamic for Marquise and Mike, and that's funny. That is
great.
Fucking funny.
Oh, yeah.
And so Mike made it up to the moon.
Yeah. And apparently, even on the moon, oh, man, Fender Bender. You know,
and he has service on the fucking moon.
Yes. Well, he can afford it. He can afford it.
No, and I love great news. Thanks to our new classification system, you killed astronomers. Oh, Julius, does that mean I'm not an astronaut killing machine? No, if anything, it means you're an astronomer killing machine. Whoopee!
Yeah, I'm an astronomer killing machine. Now, don't admit any liability.
Yeah, again, don't admit any liability until these cases are settled. I was like, fucking hell.
Oh,
and it
man.
Just, it was good fucking humor. From beginning to end.
It sucks because it was like, hey, look, I didn't kill him. Oh, man, I can't hear him. Let me hear what he's trying to say. It's like, no, Mike, no.
And then we switch back to, well, that's what I'm saying, was this plot? Because I feel like they may actually, not even, okay, is this plot, but in the sense, like, is that something they're going to revisit? Or is that a one-off? I want them to revisit it.
I think it was a one-off. I want them to, I know, but I think, here's the thing. It's your Gravity Falls showing. It's your Steven
right.
Universe showing.
Right. It's my every,
not
you know,
yeah.
I want continuity. And in that sense where it's like, oh, look, I'm going to enjoy this show for comedy, but I'd like to know where they're going with it. Like, are we going to get 12 episodes of just, like, shit to laugh at and that's it and it's over? Or are we going to, I don't want to know. And
I think we're
going to
get
continuity.
I think we're going to get 12 episodes of shit to laugh at. And hopefully because of how popular it could become, right, that will become 2 seasons worth and then 3 seasons worth. And I don't know if this will ever become a 30-minute show. I hope not, because I think they're better in these small.
No, this format
kind of,
fits
you know,
perfectly. Because
yeah.
well, they're allowed to get, like, theme jokes in there and make it funny for the episode, and then we move on. And it doesn't
yeah. –
like, that's why we have such a high opinion of it, because over 30 minutes, you'll get good 15 minutes worth of jokes, but then you have to work twice as hard. And you may end up taking away from other future episodes because of that. So it just
yeah, that would make me really sit there and go, this there needs to be a plot here, you know, because even American Dad or Family Guy, right, they obviously throw a lot away, but they keep certain things intact
right
as
and
the shows go on.
you know, we have something like this where Mike was on the fucking moon when the episode ended, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's the kind of the ending where we can laugh
well,
at.
No, he wasn't. Remember, he hit that astronomer.
Oh, no, yeah, he came back magically to
easily,
kill another
easily, very easily.
Astronomer.
Yes, exactly, which I love the idea that they're just like, it's because we're being targeted. Nope, not even, I can assure you.
No, because he's killed so many astronomers that logically he has, you know, someone has to be targeting them. Mind you, I love that, like, the trip to the moon and back took, like, a day.
The idea that whatever the secret was, it was ingrained on the side of the moon, which
and it's
I love how.
Tattoo. Mike's face
okay.
Tattoo is on the moon.
Oh, that's what that is. I'm sorry, I don't know much of. Wow. That's hilarious. That's fucking... Because I sat there and I was like, are we trying to not make sense of this, but in a making sense way? No, apparently Mike Tyson's face tattoo is on the side of the moon, which is what the astronomers were looking for, which now Mike Tyson hits the astronomers, but in no way is that relevant to... So
no,
wait a minute. So technically,
asking,
technically,
is there
technically,
plot? Because
okay. So then here's what I have to say then. Now that you bring this up, and I feel like such an idiot. But hey, look, we're on the air. So I mean, it's like television. Only you can hear me being stupid. I think of it like this. Then how about like this? The idea that Mike was right all along, but about astronomers. That's the only thing that he was off on.
Mm-hmm.
Mike was correct. Somehow, be it with him or be it his tattoo, be it this crazy ritual, think about, you know, a Halloween 6 before the director's cut, where, I think it was before the director's cut. Cause I think the director's cut took away anything about Michael Myers being, like, in a cult or anything. But at one point, it was the idea that Michael Myers is coming, he keeps on coming back and cannot die because he is basically the embodiment of rage. And the cult kind of put that energy into him.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. Yeah. So anyway, that was Mike Myers. So, So technically they could just be like, you know, they could be trying to make something like that where it's just like, he knows the secret. And, you know, or someone knows the secret and they're trying to kill us. And Mike is doing it by a complete accident, by the way. I don't know how Buzz Aldrin learned this, but he did call Mike Tyson.
Well, he went to the
which
moon.
Is weird.
So he saw it.
Yes, technically that is true. But he doesn't know how it connects. I don't know how it connects. And I think that's where it's like it was kind of like a joke where they'll never revisit it ever. But, yeah, like, it's like, where does it connect? They never revisit it. Because, haha.
I really desperately want them to.
It's showing. I can see it. Everyone, Satish watches Gravity Falls like a nerd, and I do too, because I'm a nerd. Watch Gravity Falls, I'll joke aside. It's really fucking good. Nerd.
But no, moving on to, like, is magic real?
Right.
The fight or flight jokes throughout the episode made me fucking laugh so hard. As
excuse me,
who,
fight or flight. Excuse me, fight or flight.
Who studies biology. So do you know what the fight or flight response is, Matt?
Yes, of course. The fight or flight response, right, which is either you put into a dangerous situation, you either fight or you run away.
Right.
Now, clearly, Mike Tyson took it as you fight while running.
I loved it so much
or something.
Because he has obviously no understanding. And it was just, sorry, fight or flight. Bam! And he went back and punched an elderly woman at one point. Sorry, fight!
Yeah.
Boom! I'm like, he also, in the same episode, nearly killed Chris Angel.
I love that. No,
he's doing
no,
a disservice to children.
No, but what I love is the idea that, you know, all right, this Chris Angel guy is doing a disservice to children, and he's just, you know, he's really just, I hate that my Mike Tyson sounds a bit like my Michael Jackson, but whatever. He's doing a disservice to children, and yeah, I really gotta show him who's boss, punches him in the face, stop abusing children.
I just run up on his phone in the middle. I didn't even see it coming because he's like, I'm mad at him. And all of a sudden, stop abusing children. I'm like, Mike, what? And then what made it even better is that the people behind him in the parking garage was Chris Angel and his assistant, her girlfriend, trying to get him to the hospital.
it didn't click to me.
Yeah. That was Chris Angel and his assistant trying to get him to the hospital. And I was like, this is the most beautiful continuity that I have ever.
So that's the thing. I think the show likes to do that continuity, and it's done it before. But, you know, in Mike Tyson, it just gets weird. But here it worked very well because of, yeah, it was apparently it was Chris Angel. I didn't notice that because I just saw in my head some goth kid, like, who got punched in the face. It just,
well, I
a general,
confirm,
like,
but that's the way I interpreted it because I
no,
thought that
I'm
would
gonna
be funny.
No, because they would do that. I'm not gonna take that away from you because that is smarter. That's some detective work, Satish. but seriously, yeah, that was wonderful, and I, oh my god. So yeah, so it's the idea of just, you know, well, come on, like, if you gotta get to the hospital, then you gotta get there. What are you? You've taken an hour. Mind you, that was just her. You know, exaggerating, but still at least 20 minutes. Though I would really laugh if he retold that story for a full hour. But I'm sure it was just 20 minutes, but still, 20 minutes of, I am behind you in this parking lot. I can only get through here in this lane. I need to take this person to the hospital, and you're just here. And I love Marquise, just, Michael, they're honking. Michael, they're honking. You gotta get out. And also, by the way, the wizard, drawing everything, be like, actually, there's a whole note. Oh man, it's like a fold out.
No, it's like a comic book.
It was a comic. Yeah, oh man, it's like a comic
book. Yeah, it's a comic book. And he's like, I love that. He's like, how did I know that? That had to be magic. Actually, I drew it all out. Damn. Just see what.
Also, by the way,
the foreshadowing that they do.
Yes. Also, the idea that the pigeon was turned into a pigeon by a curse. From his ex-wife, but nope, magic is not real.
I loved that so much. Just the whole idea of, so what happened? Well, she told me if I cheated on her one more time, then I would be turned into a pigeon. And so
and
I cheated,
on, cheated
her immediately. And I just like, oh my god.
But I think that, you know, over time, I gradually would have transformed into a pigeon anyway. So.
No, I like that he slowed down because he realized how stupid of a statement, but he kept on with it. Just like, yeah I gradually thought that I would have turned into a pigeon eventually at some point.
Yeah.
It just,
also, no. You know, since we brought up the idea of, you know, of either, you know, the date rape thing or whatever, again, in his character to kind of, like, look into, we usually don't do this, but the show has gotten, you know, a little tiny, not in any bad way, risque in the first two episodes. Because in this episode, you know, yeah, he's looking at a woman who's getting, you know, dressed, and it's just, don't close the curtains. And it fits him, and it's kind of funny because it's funny because of, not because of him looking into a woman's house, but the idea, and Family Guy does this a lot, which I love, gags within gags.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, like where you have, you know, was it Brian and Lois talking about something. And then in the background, Stewie is trying to control Chris with mind control. Control him with mind control, yes. And the device goes haywire. So in the window, on the lawn, you just see Chris going nuts and destroying Stewie. That's hilarious. To me, right? So in this case, it's like, yeah, you know, in the background, or what looked like in the forefront, you see him looking into this woman's, you know, house. But really what you're getting is, you know, yeah, you know, I mean, I cheated on my wife and gradually, you know, which also, again, paints him as a scumbag. So it's like, yeah, you know, but I really thought in the end that I would be turned into a pigeon. So no magic. Magic is real. So no, I don't believe magic is real. And it's like, damn it. You know, so that I think is the joke in itself. It didn't really feel so in your face. I think, like, right, kind of like Mike Tyson punching you in the face until, you know, Mite Bite. That's what I'm calling it. Not Mike Tyson. Mite Bites. I feel like that's a show in itself. Yeah, it's going on. I just bite people, but it's okay though because I get their written consent after to be on television.
No. But when it comes down to Is Magic Real, the whole idea of, like, the wizard and then finding the wizard, and the foreshadowing killed me. Just his whole logic as magic being real is because he saw a leprechaun. So when he finds out that the leprechaun was a Hispanic guy in a costume on St. Patrick's
right.
Day, I love that in his explanation he didn't even realize it. Just the whole, like, man, that you were green, you were a leprechaun, and the place was decorated green, and the beer was green, and everything was green. It must have been Valentine's Day or something. I was like, fucking. And then just the whole, like, it was a costume. And then later on, the validation is that there actually was a leprechaun that spoke Spanish. And then Robert Redford, but if leprechauns are inside us controlling us this whole time, are we really alive?
So, Tish, I think we should make a film about you. And the film would be the film would be about a Guyanese man who has a leprechaun inside of him.
I laughed so hard. I was pigeon. Because Pigeon starts laughing, the rest of them don't get it. It's like, honestly, Jung, you should make that movie. Because I think there are a lot of people that would love to see a leprechaun inside an Asian American.
An Asian woman with a leprechaun inside of her. The reason why I love that sentence most of all is because if you were pitching it to a bunch of people who wouldn't think that as their first thought, or were trying to be like Robert Redford, where it's Sundance and all this stuff, and independent films, it comes off to you as like a very, like a, wow, like that's a deep thing to say. Until you sit down and you really just dissect it. And you sit there and you're just like, actually, you know, like there are people out there who use Asian as a fetish. Not, you know, however you feel, but yeah, you know, there are certain sites that are dedicated to just Asian fetish. And then leprechaun, in a way, being like how some people would consider, like, you know, like, oh, well, you know, when they use the word rodeo clown or something, just something that's a bit, you know, or donkey, you know, something that's like out there in terms of, you know, a sexual act, if you will. So it's just really funny when put together like that, where it's just, you know, where it's just, yes, an Asian woman. You know, it's like an Asian woman with a, you know, with a leprechaun inside of her. And then pigeon. And
yeah,
I was like, oh, God.
There was so much great humor there. Within the whole Robert Redford's ridiculous tirade about, like, the leprechaun's inside of you. And then you have that specific one-liner. Oh, my God. That was a good episode. Like, that was just
really
funny.
Yeah. Which was great, too, with the fact that Pigeon was just like, oh, yeah, so I promised him that he could sleep with my wife. But you would divorce. Well, I mean, it was really your daughter. What? I mean, come on. She's 18, so, I mean, you know.
Yeah, no,
oh, man, I got to get through.
She needs the experience. What? It was such a douchebag.
Yeah.
So, like,
and then I love that, like, he pops in. And in my head, it all made sense. And it's just, no, a film producer, which I think is a joke in itself, where it's just, no, a filmmaker is actually doing his best for the youth of America.
It's funny because, like, it was a situation where I felt like it was like one of those director, like, trying to sleep with the young actress thing.
Yeah.
And it was like a suspicious kind of moment, but it was just Jung being a genius wouldn't have fallen into that kind of stuff. So I thought it was funny because,
well,
I thought
she might have just like had a crush on him.
I really didn't know what to make of it because it's just a matter of like, is she what? Like, I don't know. And what made it better for me is that Robert Redford later on actually encouraged the idea of her making movies. So I was like, okay, maybe.
No. But no, that's the thing. I think the joke was, like, okay, someone like you or I, right, we would be nice enough to be like, oh, I see potential in you, and I would like to, you know, be your mentor or whatever. That's you or I. But when you look at people who look into the industry of Hollywood, you know, all they really see, or at least make jokes about, is a lot of, you know, casting couch jokes. Also hilarious with the fact that he was sitting on a couch, by the way.
Yeah, that was a subtle thing. And then she's, of course, in this outfit that Robert has heroically given her because the whole Letterman jacket thing wasn't vegan. And that was bad.
And it's just really funny because you just sit there and you go, damn it. Damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it. So, yeah, you sit there, and I think by the end of it, you're really supposed to believe that Robert Redford is a great guy. In contrast usually what they show. You know.
Yeah, I like these little subtle things because I don't think Mite Bites had anyone, but no, they didn't have any celebrities in there, right?
No.
But each episode to date, I mean, the first one had Cormac McCarthy. The second one had the IBM guy, Thomas Watson.
Right.
The third one was astronauts, right?
Buzz Aldrin.
And, of course, Buzz Aldrin. And Elon Musk. And Elton John, if I remember correctly. Because he was singing Rocket Man.
I love that. Yeah, just come up to the stage. And then in his head, damn, that asshole never showed up.
Well, I mean, he was killed, so it's okay. But
that's the thing. He doesn't know at the time, which is funny, I think.
Right, he didn't know, which made me laugh. It's like, right, nobody told Elton John. But and then in the fourth episode, of course, we had Chris Angel and Robert Redford.
Right.
Who's apparently a hell of a guy.
Apparently a hell of a guy. Also, we didn't even talk about that night scene in the car. I think that was amazing. The art style and everything about the shading and everything. I'm a really huge fan of that. That they used it, and they only used it for a dramatic scene.
I liked
that
it.
That was pretty much discarded.
The whole wizarding thing?
But it was funny, yes. Oh, yeah, it was great.
I loved it.
And
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is fun. This is what Mike Tyson thinks in.
Yeah, also the idea that, I mean, yes, Marquise isn't magic. But it's such a good thing to point out, I think, that you're a fucking ghost. Well, I'm not magic. Okay, but you're a fucking ghost. Have an open mind. Right? Like, I love that, you know, they kind of did that in a way where it's just, well, you know, I mean, I'm not magic, no. And I've never really believed in it, per se. It's just like, hey, dudes, you're a werewolf.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about vampires?
Ah, nah, man, that's just some movie shit.
You're a werewolf right now.
Yeah, I know, man. What? Yeah, I mean, you know that if he says rest in peace, insert name here, the ghost disappears. But
yeah.
No magic or nothing like that.
No.
And you also know a pigeon who used to be a human and was turned into a pigeon.
Yes.
Still nothing.
Excuse me, fight or flight. That's my favorite thing, I think,
also,
ever. Excuse me, fight or flight.
I believe in the magic of hard work. That's got to be, like, the most depressing thing ever. I was like, it was fun. It was really
fun.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. And then apparently, yeah, like you said before, the Mexican guy is a leprechaun. Like, a Mexican – I say Mexican because I don't want to – again, I don't want to pigeonhole, but the way he was drawn, I feel like he was drawn to look the way a person who is Mexican could look. And I say that because, you know, myself being Hispanic, though I'm a very light-skinned
human,
my
head,
right?
I thought myself
I want to
being Mexican.
No, no, myself
like,
being
that's not
here's
Mexican.
The thing. But I'm bringing up certain. I hate you so much. I'm bringing up certain. You know, I am Hispanic. I am Puerto Rican, and I am also Cuban. Now, I have seen light skinned as myself Hispanics. I have
because
seen dark skinned Hispanics. I don't usually see. You know, we don't usually see. If we see a darker Cuban, yes. But the shade that they drew him in didn't really stick to me as like he could have been, let's say, Cuban or Puerto Rican.
Right.
I mean, maybe it's just me.
Definitely.
I just want to put out there. It's a weird thing where I'm not the authority.
That's
obviously.
Not Mexican. So, of course, yeah, you know, he's not the authority. But go on. I was just listening.
I just like to put out that I'm Hispanic because, I mean, no one can see me. And
Mexican.
I think even if they saw me,
no.
They wouldn't
he
know.
He feels like
so,
he would judge Mexican. Why'd you stop, Matt?
You come from an island where there is only a Mew.
I appreciate that, because we're not even an island.
That's why I always say it, because apparently I am and I'm not Mexican in the same sentence. I'm Schrodinger's Mexican, apparently. You're turning me into, I hate you so much for doing that.
Schrodinger's Mexican.
You know,
as
we don't know.
The amazing fucking physicist.
If we don't know anything about Matt being Mexican or not, then he can and cannot be Mexican. Except for every single fucking time that I sit
on
here.
I want Schrodinger's Mexican. Which will probably get a shot, but for God's sakes, you just called yourself Schrodinger's Mexican. That's the kind
because
of thing that will be
you.
On Mike Tyson's show.
Because of you, I think that the
no,
the
I had nothing to do with
mood.
It. I had nothing to do with it.
You had
I was
nothing
just doing
do
my
it.
Best pigeon imitation, and while you know,
you've and, no. Everyone here, gather your energy, gather your ears. Everyone here, this is you just experienced this in about what like a 2 minute span. Imagine this almost every day. Almost sometimes he'll just not do it, but almost every day. The looming, just, you know, idea of, is the Tish going to call me a Mexican today?
Spoiler, the answer is usually no, as much as he likes to make it seem.
No, recently it's been a no, but there was a time, man.
Recently, as in, like, the last year, it's been like a no.
I resent that. I resent that.
You resent it because it's correct.
So, Mite Bites, how weird was that episode, eh? I enjoy, okay, no, but seriously, though, I enjoy the fact that Pigeon has a lot of glaucoma. He has a lot of it.
I love, okay, so the episode opens, and I'm like, Pigeon's smiling, it seems, and I'm like, why is he so happy? Why is he so happy? There has to be a fucking reason. And Jung is doing her thing, and Marquise is watering the fucking flowers. I'm like, there's some kind of, like, something. There's a drug in his coffee or something. And then just, oh, the azaleas are, how's my pot? It's like, there it is. There it is. That's what it was. And just, you planted pot in my garden? Oh, well,
and it's so
medicinal.
And it's so, like, but I love that when he points to it, it's just so out there. You know what I mean? Like, you planted pot in my garden? Well, they're not the azaleas, motherfucker.
Like, yeah, I laugh because in my head it's like, Marquise, one of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong here. And it's just like, you're smarter than that. And he sounded
also,
so surprised.
Yes. Also, Marquise wants surgery.
Made me laugh so much. He answered himself, too. Because everybody was like, what the fuck do we tell him?
But I have to admit, though, it was sad that Pigeon had to leave. It was funny, though, how he left, because it's just so stereotypical. It's like, without stupid ghosts and hotter Asians, I'm leaving! And then leaves. We mentioned before his joke with, Mike Tyson's daughter, which was a mix between weird and then slightly funny.
Like, some was funny and some just didn't resonate with me, so it was like a 50-50 thing.
Right, and then, so he leaves. And then Marquise made a joke that I really loved. And I love this joke not because of the joke itself, but because of everything that surrounded it afterwards. Where, well, at least I don't have to worry about getting molested. Well, I mean, I'm still here. Oh, God, that was really tasteless. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
And then later on in the background, what are you doing to yourself, Marquise? Just, you're funny. Just, why'd you go there? Is this questioning himself?
Yeah, no, I loved it so much because it's, okay, minus a tasteless joke, I do that all the time, and I'm sure you do too. I feel like we all do in a way, but I just, I feel like it, so it made me sad because I was like, damn it, that's something I would do, where I'm just like, why did I say that specifically? I could have probably said so many other things. Oh, God, this is going to keep me up all night long, isn't it? Oh, God, no, I mean, And then we get to Pigeon, right, where I think I said this earlier on the show where, if it was just the idea, not am I going to get date raped, but the idea of, like, I'm going to get abducted, aren't I? Oh, well, yeah, right. Wakes up, I've been abducted. Apparently by science, by these, these people that test on live animals, which is a cruel thing to do, I feel. And then also it just turns into, oh, wait, no, never mind, activist here, rah, rah, and then destroys the lab. And then, so the lab is destroyed. We end up seeing Mike's pet bear after seeing Pigeon on the computer. We see Mike's pet bear named Barry.
Makes sense.
What I think I enjoy about Barry is the idea, not Barry, it's Bear-E, is the idea that most people say shit about newer Pokemon in their names, and I'm not saying that they're all inventive, because we've had this discussion on Pokemon shows before, but holy shit, Barry. B-E-A-R-Y.
This comes from a guy who keeps a pigeon named Pigeon. So
Yes. But still, it's just hilarious. Where it's just, people try to shit on Pokemon names. It's like, I get it, but look at this man.
The whole thing, his exchange with the doctor, I loved his anger so much. Just the whole, like, oh, so you could have been wrong then? You could have been wrong? I hope you die. I'm like, wow. And then later on,
it's crazy.
He sees him in the flood. I hope you die. I was like,
yeah. No, it's crazy. Also, by the way, seeing him in the flood, not understanding about what happened with the Hoover Dam, just assuming it's like, damn it, why are you flying in my business? Like, why are you swimming in my business? As if it's just like he just chose to swim there.
Yeah,
but
just,
no, really,
there's a large body of water up to his fucking window, and the doc is choosing to swim there. In
what really
clothes.
Hit me though? Yeah. What really hit me though, and I don't think this affected our watch of the episode. I swear. People listening might think it did, but I swear it didn't. You and I have dealt with a problem like this recently. So I think in a way it kind of added to it, where it's just the doctor's like, I may have been wrong. And you sit there and you're like, yeah.
Yeah, no. What Matt's referring to, because we can talk about this on air, it's not that big a deal, is the fact that I spent some time in the hospital over the last few days because of the fact that I might have been bitten by a venomous bug. And I say might have because you think, well, Satish, you went to the hospital and paid for some medical care. Couldn't they have told you what went on? And the question is a good one. And the answer I have for you is apparently not. And I am a big believer in modern medicine, and I love them to death, but sometimes they don't fucking know. And this is really funny because insect fucking bites.
Also, I'll say this to you. I'll say this on air because you brought your story. I'll bring it up myself. The place that you spent your time at, the night that you spent, was at my home. And I'm only bringing this up because to people out there who are like, why are you bringing this up on the air? Because it's not even like, oh, bed bugs or, oh, rats or cockroaches, things that even though if you're connected with apartments, they can come from anywhere. People are just like, oh, no, that means that you're dirty or blah, blah, blah. No, venomous. Apparently my house turned into Africa overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking
this is
venomous.
Yeah, you know, I didn't mention Matt's house because I don't want to. He feels guilty, and I don't want him to feel guilty. But
I'm happy you didn't mention it. But when you mentioned your side, I'm like, well, I mean, obviously, because again, everyone might think like, well, where was he? What area was he? Does he have Ebola? Nope, he was in New York.
in
New York.
And it's funny because essentially the first thing they told me when I got in was like, hey, it's not bed bug bites. And then a couple hours later, my diagnosis on the official discharge sheet was bed bug bites.
Because it had to be.
Yeah, I laughed hysterically because I looked at the nurse and I'm like, the first thing you fucking told me was that it wasn't bed bug bites. And they explained that they put that in the computer because it allowed them to give me a broad spectrum of drugs and an antidote so that whatever it actually was, they would have made sure to kill it. But they don't know what it was. And nobody to this point knows what bit me or, Matt and his family have not been able to find the culprit. And the doctors have not been able to figure out what the hell is wrong with me, but I am feeling better, as you can hear.
And we say culprit. We say culprit because let's say we do find a bug that we kill. We have to sit there and think, was that a venomous spider or snake? No, it was not.
So it wasn't
the
culprit.
I'm fairly certain that we don't have, like, a venomous snake, pretty easy to spot, right?
Yeah.
Venomous spider, I'm not going to say easy to spot, but I mean, hey, we did rip my room apart because of that, because we wanted to just be like, all right, Satish, we're going to rip our room apart. And we did. And we found relatively nothing. I mean, you see one ant, one little tiny black ant, and I'm like, time to die, motherfucker. But I don't think that's what did it. Like, I'm pretty sure that's not what did it.
Yeah, no, it's just funny because maybe that's why we Matt and I were kind of like angry at this episode subconsciously. Because
we sit there and it's like an
episode about a doctor misdiagnosing insect bites. This hits a little too close to home, Mike Tyson's mystery.
It aired last night, right?
It aired last night.
Yeah.
The night I came home from the hospital.
That's great. You didn't see it until today, neither did I, but that's funny when you think about it that way. But yeah, and I really don't think that's why. I really think that, because I think it did add to it, where it made me feel like, yep, this could happen, so it's kind of funny in a way. Because, yeah, like doctors, I think that's what they were going for, where doctors can fucking misdiagnose you completely. Because they did. They were like, this is dust mite bites. Mike Tyson has a goddamn, mind you, I know the doctor shouldn't see this coming, has fucking pet mosquitoes in his
room.
No,
I laughed that he didn't even realize it.
Yes.
Mike just calmly thought, I gotta feed my mosquitoes. Michael, you have mosquitoes in your room? Yeah. He didn't even realize it. And I also love, one of the things that made me laugh, when Marquise is encouraging him to, like, be honest with Pigeon, it's not like you need to leave because you might have mites. It's, you're a dirty, disgusting creature that carries insects and I can't have you in my house.
And it
like,
sucks
damn.
Because it was like, no, it sucks because Mike was like, I can't be honest with him. No, it's fine. You can be as honest as you can. But because Mike Tyson's a fucking child, right, it was either I have to lie about my grandmother who's coming home from World War I, by the way, where she got, whatever by Pigeon, versus, damn it, Pigeon, you disgusting and you terrible and what you out of my house.
Yeah, I was just like, Mike has no middle ground.
No.
Which makes sense as a
yes.
character.
Yes, it does. Oh, God, it's terrible. But, So, sadly, we are at the end of our show. We had a very fun time. It was weird that we had to wait 3 weeks for this, but honestly, I do think this show does help out with that. We're usually, with Steven Universe, we try and wait 2 episodes because it helps us out with our hour shows. But even Steven Universe, I feel like there's more plot to talk about or more possible future storylines.
There's no plot in this. And also, you look at Mike Tyson, and we wouldn't have really, it's interesting that we planned it out this way, because we wouldn't have really been happy to talk about Mike Tyson for a half hour.
No, even if we turned the show from an hour to half an hour, no, it would have really turned into a complaint, what some consider a complaint fest. So we usually talk about when it comes to things like, you know, not really women's rights for this show, but just the idea that it's like, you know, also we'd be talking about the downhill effect where it's like, oh God, what if this show, you know, it's going to go downhill from here. But for right now, we can just wait.
I hope we can
have some fun. We can just have some fun. And
yeah, you look at things like Steven Universe.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't like Cheeseburger Backpack, but... And that was like episode 3. I love the show at this point. So I'm not saying it's going to have an amazing plot to turn it around, but I mean, look, everyone's allowed a stinker once in a while. And the first 4 episodes were like A+. So you give me that, and I'm going to give you more than a 1-episode lease of impressing me.
Yes, and for some, hey, they might have loved this episode more than they loved any other episode, which is okay. The one
and
thing
wrong.
That I have to say was great about this episode was that is that this episode, and you know, this was, I think, the best part, where it's just, oh, damn, that mystery, which I even forgot about. So it's just, was that mystery time sensitive? Hello, Mike Tyson, this mystery is time sensitive. Oh.
Some reason, they think Mike Tyson for time sensitive mystery.
Right. I think he's the only one out there solving them in this way, though.
No,
when you
but
think
in
about
my
it,
head, okay, that wasn't a fucking mystery, Matt. Mike,
right,
there
that was
a terrorist bomb in the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
Like, okay, everything else I get, but apparently you don't think, let's contact the police. You think, I'm going to carrier pigeon Mike Tyson.
Right, that is true. And then, of course, it exploded, and that's how the episode ended. But anywho, so we're at the end of our show. We have to thank you guys for listening to those guys. And we had some fun. Hopefully you had some fun listening in, watching the episodes. If you haven't watched them yet, and you're kind of using this as a way to gauge whether you should or not, I hope it helped, you know, because this show is really funny and we really think you should watch it or at least give it a shot, you know, for an episode or 4. So So again, thank you guys for listening in. I'd just like to promote us just a bit, a little shameless promotion. We have ourselves a Tumblr where we post all of our older episodes and newer episodes called thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. That's mostly our main website. We have other social media accounts as well, though. We have our Facebook /thoseguysontheradio, or you can search up those guys. Our Twitter @thoseguysradio. We also have our Instagram /thoseguysontheradio. Now, we use these to, you know, connect with you guys. Also, hopefully you can connect with us as well. But also remember that these are can be used for, you know, future Pokemon giveaways or any other giveaway that we do. So remember, like us on the on whatever social media account you wish, but possibly multiple, so that it can help your, you know, increase your chances of winning whatever it is we'll be giving out in the future. We have ourselves a Gmail, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com, where you can email us with any promotional opportunities with your legal company or your legal product, or you can just email us about different show ideas that you wish. You can also do the same with our Tumblr, but I mean, Tumblr, Gmail, whatever one you feel more appropriate with saying, hey, it would be cool if you guys did this show. Would be great. And we say this because we've done shows on things like WWE, WWE Reviews, Dragon Ball Z, Bleach, Gravity Falls, Steven Universe, obviously Mike Tyson Mysteries, Black Dynamite, Gotham, Flash, Arrow. You know, many shows like this. So we obviously, Pokemon games as well, we obviously go for a wide range of topics.
We have no lives. Basically,
we have no lives.
We are whores for your podcast amusement. But you don't even have to pay us to do it. You can just ask us.
Right. So, and of course, you know, more stuff coming on the way. And, you know, and stay tuned for it. So,
thank you guys.
You should
totally check out our merchandise page on our Tumblr.
Yes, you should. You can help us out and also buy whatever products you may enjoy. Also, if you want to promote anything, tell us, it would be cool if you guys had this on your Tumblr page. We can put it up. Just, again, we need, contact with you guys. We love feedback. So thank you guys for listening in. I'll play us out.